Welcome to the number one podcast covering Michigan State basketball. The Final Four is not in the schedule. Join Rod and me, Eric, as we dive deep into the Spartans to get you prepared for every game. Subscribe today for in-depth recruiting updates and fantastic interviews with today's important college basketball personalities like Robbie Hummel.
Thanks for having me. I have listened to your guys' podcast numerous times on drives throughout any Midwestern Big Ten city, so I am big fans of your guys' work.
Jay Billis.
And next time, hey, if anybody in Michigan wants a December tea time, call me. You wimps won't show up, but I'll be there. I'll be there and play in the cold. And Izzo will be in front of the fire with hot chocolate.
Coaches Thomas Kelly.
No problem. Glad to be back, man. Glad to be back.
Mike Garland.
Just can't sit there and trade twos for threes. You can't do it. You're going to lose. Coming down the stretch, you're going to lose.
And more. You won't find better coverage of Spartan hoops than you will get here. For both the casual and hardcore fan, come along as we take you for a green and white ride. Hey everybody, it's Eric alongside Rod, here to discuss the newest addition to the MSU basketball team, Freddie Fiddler. Before we begin, we'd like to thank new Patreon supporter Daniel Drenak at the Draymond Green level. A reminder that we will be having a supporters in-person dinner for those who support the show at the Draymond Green level or above on Patreon, or those who support us on Substack. Invites go out sometime at the end of May, so there's still time to sign up to support the show if you want to be interested in joining us for that dinner. It's at the Final Four is on the schedule.com/support. There you can find ways to link and support the show on a recurring basis. All right, Rod, we've already talked about Fiddler before, but I just want to briefly go over, I guess, what we already know, that he's 6'7", 200-pound wing from the Summit League playing at the University of Omaha. He averaged 20.1 points a game, 6.3 rebounds a game. He shot 45, 36, and 84 with a 2.6 to 1.6 assist to turnover ratio. And more interestingly, I suppose, he averaged 8 free throws a game. And I guess those are the stats. So I guess you can go on a little bit further about sort of what happened today, as we're April 23rd, where we've sort of expected this to happen for a couple of days, but it became official today.
Portal day. Everybody can breathe for easy, right? They finally got someone. No.
Tom Izzo finally, I finally did.
There's reason to be enthusiastic about this because he indicated right from the end of the season that, by he, I mean Izzo, felt that Michigan State needed to add a wing with size. And I think I was of two minds of this. On the one hand, I really did wonder, and I still kind of wonder, might adding somebody to that perimeter group, assuming that everybody other than A.J. Hogard, who was eligible to come back, would come back. And, you know, nothing's done till it's done. We got a week to go yet in the portal, but it looks like that's going to be the case. It looks like Jaden Akins is going to be around and nobody else is going to leave. I wondered, though, if adding someone might impact a guy like Cohen Carr, let's say, and how he sees his role. Still a possibility of that, but I think that Izzo determined he needed someone. His specific words were a wing with size who can really shoot it. Now, that's interesting because I don't think Frankie Fiddler's career suggests that he's exactly that, meaning when you say, oh, somebody can really shoot it, normally what you think of, you think of Bryn Forbes, right? Think of somebody like that, like a true pure shooter. You mentioned his shooting percentage. He was 36% from three last year on high volume. That's not bad. That certainly plays, but it's not pure shooter. And you look a little deeper at his career, he's been up and down. As a freshman, he still played a lot, but the volume was significantly lower than it was this year. He shot 43%. Then his sophomore year, volume was similar to the freshman year, less than this past season, it was either 28 or 29%. So there's been some variance, but I think it's probably safe to conclude he is a good shooter, not a great one. But that's not the totality of the story here. In fact, I don't really think it's the most important part. When we spent a lot of time talking about guard play last year. Despite, yes, he did. Despite a lot of the fan base's obsession with the five position, it was our take on this podcast that the real issue with Michigan State's underachievement was guard play, specifically at the point, but it also radiated out to other areas, even in addition to the point. And one of those areas I would suggest was a real problem for Michigan State last year in its perimeter group, and then spread to the whole team, really, was the inability to be efficient on two-pointers.
Yeah.
Fans obsessed about three-point shooting, especially early in the year when Michigan State was struggling, they did. But the real story offensively for this team, in my opinion, was that they were not a very good two-point shooting team. And if you think about it, how many layups did we see missed? How many shots through contests and through traffic and through contact did we see Michigan State not convert? A lot. Well, Frankie Fiddler shot 50% on twos last year. That's a really good number. And it's not low volume either. This is a guy, you mentioned it, averaged almost 8 free throw attempts per game last year. To right. put it into perspective, that is a dominant low post center type number. Really, really good. Really good. So that tells you something. And this is the stuff you can't get from just looking at a highlight reel. Those numbers tell you something about the way he plays. You can see some of it evidenced in his highlight reels, but the stats tell the story. This is a guy who's going to improve Michigan State's two-point shooting, which to me is at least, if not more important, than what he adds as a three-point shooter. You know what I mean? So that's something I like. Defensively, I think it's to be determined because you never know. He's not a high level athlete. That much is clear. I don't mean he's bad athletically, but he's not Cohen Carr. All right. So you never know for sure how that's going to play defensively, especially when a guy is moving up a level. But I think there's enough to suggest that he's probably going to be passable. You know,
sure.
He'll be, I think, and I don't think as a, look, we know, if we know one thing in this portal stuff, it's that Tom Izzo is going to be very selective. And I think he must be reasonably convinced that he can get at least functional defensive play out of Fiddler. Another area he helps this team, you mentioned, is rebounding. 6.3 rebounds from the wing. That's huge. I maintain that Michigan State's rebounding issues the last few years have had more to do with the way the perimeter group has defended than anything else. And I think that's accurate. I think generally speaking, you will be as good a rebounding team as your perimeter group is. So adding a guy who grabbed more than 6 boards a game last year, a little over, it was 1.2 of them were offensive, that ought to help. So this is a guy who's capable of helping Michigan State in a lot of different ways. And to go back to the defensive side of things just for a second, even if he's not a lockdown defender, an elite guy, I think where he helps Michigan State is in an area where we saw them have problems at times last year, and that's he gives you a physical matchup for bigger wings. You know, they didn't really have that card to play last year. Cohen Carr, they could do it, but you were talking about a freshman. Now you've got somebody that you can put in that role, and I think it'll have impact. You know, it doesn't mean he'll lock guys down, but at least if you're putting someone who can physically match, you know, I think about when in Illinois would trot out, you know, Terrence Shannon and Domask on the wings. That was a tough matchup for Michigan State, right? Well, now you've got a guy, and you still got Cohen Carr. You have Garrick Norman, who's a bigger player coming off a red shirt. You know, all of a sudden they've got some options, but this guy would clearly be the best of those because he's the most likely to start of that group. So I like the addition. I mean, I think this is, I think Michigan State was deliberate. They were intentional and they were specific about how they went about adding a player to fill that role. And keep in mind, to date, there's only one transfer guy, portal guy, who's made a visit to Michigan State, an official visit, and it's Frankie Fiddler.
Did that guy Hadley come to camp visit too?
Nope.
Who ended up at? Okay, I thought he was going to and didn't do it though. Okay,
right. He did. He did a Zoom visit.
Michigan State
and Iowa State supposedly was then going to officially visit one of those two schools, which he did to Iowa State, and then I think he ended up going to Louisville. So, welcome to the portal. That's the thing. The other thing here was just clear. It all adds up. This was a pretty straightforward kind of recruiting process from what I can tell. You know, he took four visits, Creighton and Nebraska, which are both in his home state. He's from Omaha. He didn't just play there. Then he visited Wisconsin, where his high school teammate, Chucky Hepburn, was, no longer is. And then Michigan State was the last visit. And it took him about, a week and a half, I guess, to make his decision. But I think this is one of those deals where the kid was interested. Michigan State was clearly interested. They did an official. They rolled out all the bells and whistles. And, then they get a positive decision. I mean, when it goes that, and that's just not how a lot of this portal stuff goes. It's because of the time frames involved and what's driving the decisions. It doesn't tend to be about that stuff. It tends to be, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory fashion, it's just descriptively. It tends to be about, who's offering me the most money? I mean, Michigan State football just got hit with some unpleasant news today in the portal, and it seems to be entirely about that, And I'm not going after the kids. This is the system the way it is. Until something changes, that's how it plays. So you got to accept that. But Michigan State basketball has been very much an exception to this rule. We know this. A lot of fans don't like that. But, the flip side of it is, take a look at what just happened to your football program. And I'm not blaming Jonathan Smith for that at all. I'm just saying, take a look at that. That's the reality for pretty much everybody in this world. The fact that you have not, and I'm knocking on wood to say I hope I'm not regretting saying this in the next week, but the fact that you do not see mass exoduses of players or even of important players, the guys who have left, they've never lost somebody to date in the portal era that there was a thought, this is a guy who can really, really help us. The closest thing would be Joey Hauser last year deciding to not petition for an extra year.
Or guys going early to the draft. Max Christie leaving.
It doesn't really happen in this program. And so, you can gnash your teeth about Izzo not playing the portal game, but there's another side to this that your team is benefiting from that you might not be thinking about. Fans think it's a one-way street. It goes two ways.
Yeah. Well, I know people who are listening to the opening are screaming at their podcast player or whatever, saying it's Frankie, not Freddie, that I said.
Yeah.
So that just showing off my middle age. Important things, if you're having trouble with your memory, make sure you take care of your car, right? one of the things that's important is make sure you do oil changes. If you're in the Grand Rapids area, Christian Brothers Automotive will do a fantastic job checking out your car. They give a free inspection. They check your battery. They rotate your tires, change the oil. And it's normally $99.99 value. You can get it for $59.99 if you just mention Hoops when you go and show up. There are four locations in the Grand Rapids area. If you need any other work for your car, too, they're a great option. My foster son works at one of them. You can say hi to him. And if you're there, he does fantastic work. All right. So, it's definitely more like speed dating now with this portal stuff than it is than the recruiting. Yeah. It's kind of everything's compressed into a couple weeks or a couple of days even. Most of the time, it seems like a lot of these players just land super fast. And so this obviously changes the equation, I guess you'd say, for Michigan State, what they're looking for. They've had feelers out for other players, mainly Trey Townsend, sort of the one that everyone's been talking about. The thought that when we talked about earlier, the thought was that we have Fiddler at the three. And I guess just to go back, for people who may not be paying attention. So the plan right now, as far as we know, is that Jeremy Fears is the point guard. He's playing the one. The two, the shooting guard, would be Jaden Akins. So he's moving from his traditional role as a three all for his career, basically at Michigan State. And as a senior, he played the two. And then what was played by Tyson Walker. And so you're giving up some, you're gaining some size in adding Akins from what you had with Walker. However, you're losing some size from Fears from Hogard. So from the guard position, it's kind of a wash, I guess, as far as size at the guard position one and two.
But I would say that it's always nice to have size at any position. As long as everything else, you know, all else being equal, you'd rather be bigger than that, right? But
yeah,
I think this equation is probably a better one for Michigan State than what it had, because Hogard was the big guard at 6'4", right? Well, now your big guard is 6'7". So even though the positions that big player is playing have switched, you're better off. You know, there's not going to be a wing that Fiddler will not be an appropriate physical matchup for. I should also, when you talk about that in the roles, you know, we used to have to say this all the time, and it's still true. The two and the three functionally are not different at Michigan State. They're wings.
Right.
But where what you're talking about does matter is we saw the last couple of years that, you know, Michigan State would put the ball in Tyson Walker's hands a lot, even though he wasn't the point guard. He was asked to play on ball a lot. Mm-hmm. Jaden Akins was not. Jaden Akins' role primarily has been as a spot-up shooter in the half-court offense, I mean. He's on the arc and waiting to get the ball swung or kicked to him, and that's where he sees his action. It was not, here's the ball, Jaden, go make a play. They tried to do some of that early last season. It wasn't tremendously successful. They're going to go back to it this year because that is the understanding as to what Izzo has said it as much. They think there's more to get from Jaden in that way. I think that's what Jaden wants to do. I think it's a big part of why he's still around at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Is that he knows that the chance to do that is in the offing. That's what he wants to do, and he knows that's important to his development beyond college. So you are going, the plan seems to be you are going to see him utilized more along the lines of the way Tyson Walker was last year than his first 3 years. I think that's fair to say. But in terms of the ultimate responsibilities, like how you have to run in transition, the lanes you're in, defensive assignments, you know, there's a lot of similarity in crossover. So in other words, if Fiddler proves, and I think there's reason to think this could be the case and will be the case, that he's an effective player with the ball in his hands in his own right, you'll see some of that as well. I hope that there is, actually, because I think that is a big part of the value he brings. As I mentioned, when you can get to the line almost eight times a game as a guard, that's, now you're working with something. That's elite stuff. And you could say, well, that's the Summit League. How does that translate to the Big Ten? Even if he's averaging 5 free throw attempts a game, that's a great number.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that to look at, too, is now that you're moving Akins to the two from the wing, your wing has gotten a lot bigger. And to your point,
yes,
now that you've got a 6'7 wing, now even if other teams are the same way in the sense that, well, they're two and three sort of interchangeable defensively, now they have to have some size to guard a guy who's 6'7". And I think the other part of that is Akins was not as successful, not very successful driving and scoring, you know, with the ball last season, but he was generally playing against someone who's about has two inches on them usually, right?
Good
on
the wing. Good point.
So now
there
he's going to
be
going up against
favorable.
A guard.
Yep.
Right. And now, and they can't even cheat and have the taller player, let's say, go guard Akins, because now they're going to be sacrificing that size on some like Fiddler.
That's right. That's right. I agree with all of that. I'll tell you what I really like potentially for this team. And look, we're not a finished product necessarily yet. But to go back to this two-point shooting thing, big problem last year for Michigan State. When I look at this right now, you're adding Frankie Fiddler, who was a 50% shooter from two, clearly embraces that phase of the game. And you're replacing a guy at the point who, frankly, really struggled to finish twos. Hogarth had a terrible year finishing twos. Yeah. He just did. He actually ended up, I think he ended up at 35% from three. That was supposedly the big weakness. And he actually, not on super high volume, but he improved. But his two-point shooting last year was rough. All you got to do is think back to some of these games and remember how many layups were missed. Jeremy Fears, granted, small sample size. We only saw him for what I think was 11 games, something like that.
Yeah.
Plus 50% shooter from two. People harp on the fact, he's not a proven jump shooter yet. Okay, that's a work in progress, and I agree that needs to improve. But what I do know is that's a kid who can and will and wants to get into the lane, and when he gets there, he converts. If Michigan State is an improved team in terms of its perimeter players' ability to convert twos, that alone is going to go a long way to making this a more efficient and effective offense next year. So it's all, and then you add in Izzo's comment, which he made about a week or so ago, about the value of having a real quarterback, as he put it, and what the knock-on effect of that is with regard to other players. I think you can see why he's enthusiastic about the potential that he's got to work with some of these guys coming back, guys coming in.
Well, so that moves us, I guess, to the next part of the conversation. When it comes to what's next, right? It's always exciting. Just like a new recruit, you open a new package at Christmas, like, hey, look what we've got. And now this is great. And then you're like, okay, so where's the next package? Right. And so there's been lots of consternation. Obviously last year we talked about the five, the center spot forever. There was a long courtship with Trey Townsend, at least as far as we could tell from the public standpoint.
Yeah.
And that our thought was that he'd end up, and he's an Oakland player who played primarily the four, played in the post a lot for Oakland. Very, a fantastic player, legacy player. His father played at Oakland for a long time. And it now looks like he is not going to be coming to Michigan State. He canceled his visit that was going to be today as we're recording this. So the likelihood of coming to Michigan State, so obviously it was affected by Fiddler, right? And that we did not see them as being in the same position, but obviously he had a different idea for what his future would be. So now if Townsend's out, I guess we can just talk about Townsend briefly about that and then sort of, what this means going forward for Michigan State.
Yeah. It reminds what you just said about the Christmas present analogy. It reminds me of many years ago, I was working with a client and it was in the entertainment space and things were really happening for this client. A lot of great stuff was happening. And there was one guy among the group who you'd be presenting, three different things that happened that day, any one of which were really good news and really important for their careers. And he'd hear them and then his response would be, what else? What else? That's kind of what I think of. Oh, you just landed your number one target in the portal. What else?
Those are strung out guys on drugs and stuff, though. So I don't know how much
it wasn't drugs. No, but I am doing a fairly accurate impersonation of the individual. So anyway, the Trey Townsend thing is very interesting. And this is a case, I think, this is my understanding and my interpretation. It's a combination of the two. There's what you are, and there's what you'd like to be or you think you are. And sometimes those are in alignment, and sometimes they're not. Trey Townsend has exclusively been a post player at Oakland. He's been primarily a four. He's even played some small ball five there, which you can get away with in the Horizon League.
Yeah.
At times, you know. But that's what he's been. In addition to that, he's been defensively, he's been in a system where they play a junk zone, right? So he's mm-hmm. never had to prove that he can even guard posts man on a man-to-man basis particularly well, never mind wings. Now, so my assumption, looking at Michigan State very clearly, they were not looking at him as a three. I don't think that's accurate. Because he's never shown, and at Michigan State, you know, you are what you can guard, right? So if he's never proven that he can guard anybody, regardless of position, man-to-man before, what do you think the odds are that he's going to step up and all of a sudden be an effective wing defender? Pretty low. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't like the odds.
Mm-hmm.
So Michigan State got involved early. I know that's for a fact. I know that. And, you know, they were competitive in, as I understand it, in terms of the NIL end of this thing. So that was not an issue. What became obvious that might be an issue was that Trey Townsend might not see himself as a four. And so initially, Michigan State was not on the list of programs that was actually going to get a visit. And then it came back into the frame that they were going to get one mid last week. It was Jim Comperoni reported that they were going to get a visit this Tuesday, today, as we're recording this. And so that made me conclude, okay, they've gotten through to him that he could be a four. And it made, you could see it making sense of Michigan State, because if he played the four, you could look at Xavier Booker as a five rather than a four,
yep. mm-hmm.
and that would be your starting lineup. So, and it would work because Booker gives you the stretch ability. Townsend is prime, although he's proven to be a capable shooter, he's not a high volume guy from three. So he's primarily a low post scorer. That's where he's done most of his damage. So it all made sense. Then the news came out yesterday. Tony Paul, who's a writer with the Detroit News, he suggested that, reported rather, that Trey was actually not going to visit Michigan State, that he had talked to Tom Izzo and informed him of this, and that's kind of that. And then I saw something mm-hmm. today before we were recording that supposedly the word is Arizona and Ohio State are the two schools remaining for him. And he'd visited both of them. Now, I know Arizona needs players because they've lost a few guys in the portal. So, you know, where they're going to play him, Ohio State, man, I don't know if I see the fit at a three. And this is my inclination. There was some discussion about this on the Spartan Mag board. And, I had suggested that, you know, one of the things that has worked for Izzo, but at times it can create issues with certain players he's recruiting, is that he has always operated in the with the Judd Heathcote method of brutal honesty.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty certain that they've said, hey, you're not a wing here. We want to bring you in as a four. And if the kid doesn't connect with that vision, okay.
Yeah.
And it's probably, you know, it's for the best that he move on somewhere else. And there are schools, I'm quite certain, that are probably telling him, look, we'll give you every chance to play there. But this is the thing. It doesn't take a school lying to you.
No.
For this to still be a factor. If Jake Diebler is telling him that, we think you can be a wing here, or at least play part-time on the wing, he may well believe that and may well fully intend to give him every opportunity to prove that he can do that. I think when push comes to shove, no matter where he ends up, he's going to be playing at four. That's what I think is going to happen. But, you know, Tom Izzo's not a guy who's ever going to whitewash a message. And I think in this case, there's not a connection between how Michigan State sees the kid and how he sees himself. And that's that.
Yeah.
So Trey Townsend's not going to be here. That's unfortunate because I did think there was a way that it could actually work and be beneficial, certainly for Michigan State. I thought that approach with Book at the five, Trey at the four could have worked. But if the kid doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to come here, well, that's that. So we move on. The question now becomes, is Michigan State going to add someone else? We are, as we sit here today, we got about a week left in the portal, which means a week left for guys to declare themselves that they're entering, not a week left in the recruitments. Just yesterday, we had Luke Goody from Illinois enter the portal. Now, he's not a solution to Michigan State's potential issue, but I just point that out to note that you're still seeing guys who played, fairly significant roles at high major programs entering the portal. We're not done either. There will be more guys. So who Michigan State might choose to get involved with? Jim Comperoni, Spartan Mag, reported today in announcing the Fiddler recruitment, or its commitment rather, that that they are still actively monitoring the portal for centers, which is interesting because they have not yet been connected with a single center. Trey Townsend was a post player, but not a center. So is the thought now, okay, maybe if they add somebody else, it will be a center. I don't know. And, I want to say this about that whole discussion.
Oh, you're entering nuance now. Better be careful.
Yeah, but, I'm going to say it because this is my forum to do
so. Hey, we've got smart listeners. That's why they listen to the show, right?
Well, and I hope that, I think a lot of our listeners probably understand this stuff to one degree or another, but, if there are people I'm sure who don't or who don't agree, and I would just at least like them to consider it and hear it out. Tom Izzo recruited Jackson Kohler and Carson Cooper for reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And my suspicion, I wouldn't even call it a suspicion, let's call it an educated guess, is that he believes in those guys still, as we sit here today. And I know a lot of people listening to this, and especially a lot of people who aren't listening to this, don't agree with that. They don't agree. They've already reached their conclusion about what Jackson Kohler can be, and to some extent what Carson Cooper can be. That's fine. It's a free country. You're entitled to have your own opinion. But what matters here is what the guy at the controls of the program thinks. And he thinks those guys can play, and he thinks that there's a lot more that can be gotten out of them. Mm-hmm. If they would have added Trey Townsend, I'm just throwing a number out there. I'm not saying it has any scientific validity, but I would say somewhere between 80 to 90% chance that Jackson Kohler would have left.
Right.
If they'd added Trey Townsend in the role that, that Michigan State saw him in as a four. Because Jackson Kohler, if you think about it, he's entering his junior year. He's starting the back half of his college career. So time is moving on. And he would be in that scenario probably looking at being a third string option at either position.
Right.
And that's not where you want to be. If you're a guy who really hasn't had a full chance to make your mark yet, so it's easy to understand. I wouldn't blame it. But Tom Izzo, and the way he thinks about this, I think I'm right on this, looks at it and says, I think there's a lot more yet to get out of this kid. I recruited him out of high school for a reason. And I think he could still be a very good player for us. And same thing about Carson Cooper. If I'm going to add somebody, and especially if I'm going to add somebody that makes it more likely that I lose one of those guys, they got to be the right guy.
Yeah.
They've got to be the right guy. He's got to believe that it makes Michigan State appreciably better. And keep this in mind. He's got, at least in theory, Jackson Kohler and Carson Cooper each for two more years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to only add a guy with 1 year left, like Frankie Fiddler, for example, you've got to believe that he is ready to go. He makes you better today, and that he fits, into the program. That's important, and that is massively overlooked by people that think this is a video game. You might think that. Tom Izzo doesn't. Tom Izzo has certain core beliefs about the guys that he adds in terms of the way they play, their mentality, who they are as people, all of those things, but especially, I think, the way that they play and the amount of time that he's got to work with them. If you're adding a transfer and you've got 2 years left, even if he's not right on the money right now, if you think there's a reasonable chance that you'll be able to reprogram him to play the way you want, okay. But if you're adding a guy for 1 year, there's no time for reprogramming. So right. All of that stuff factors in, you know? And it's why when I hear people talk about there's 30 guys who have entered the portal at center could have helped. What does help mean? People don't like actually being questioned on what they actually mean when they use words and phrases. But it matters. It matters if we're going to have a common understanding and have any kind of meaningful discussion of these things. What does that mean? It can be true that a player in a vacuum is better, quote unquote, than what Michigan State has, but that Tom Izzo doesn't feel they fit. He doesn't fit physically. He doesn't fit into his style of play. He doesn't fit to the team dynamic he wants, on and on and on. So where a guy sits in a vacuum is irrelevant for the purposes of this discussion. You might not think it is, but I'm telling you the reality of what this coach will do with the program he leads, it matters. It's the important part. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So consequently, when we face this issue, is Michigan State going to add anybody inside? The answer is maybe. I don't think they're done looking at guys, and I don't think we know yet fully who is available. We don't. They have, as of now, not moved on anybody at the five. They've had definitive interest in 1-4. There was another guy we talked about the other day, Matt Cross, who's a power forward from UMass, who was mentioned as Michigan State having some level of interest in. We don't know yet what that is, but that's possible. I guess that's one to keep in the back of your mind at least. But we'll see. But I'm telling you, the process Tom Izzo is going through is in some form a version of what I just outlined. He's going to look at it and say, I still believe in the guys I've got. If I'm going to add somebody, and especially if it's somebody who's going to compel one of those guys to then leave, it's got to be the right guy. And that's why you don't see him going Brad Underwood with this stuff. That's not what he wants to do. It's not what he believes in the best interest of his program, of his players, of the school, of himself. He doesn't believe that. So if you're frustrated by that, you don't like it, tough.
Yeah.
How it is. It's how it is. And if you really don't like it, go root for another school. Because you're not going to be serious. And I don't say that dismissively, but it's just a fact. If it bothers you that much, I see people saying if Tom Izzo doesn't add a five, he's not serious about contending. Sorry for the language, but seriously.
Yeah, I think you see things clearly. And if people listening to this podcast don't see that by now, you haven't been paying attention. Also, maybe you just need to get your windows cleaned. Maybe that's what you need.
There you go.
Head on over to Squeegee Squad of Grand Rapids. You know, they can clean your windows. Maybe then you can see more clearly out there what's going on in the portal transfer. I'm not sure. Maybe that helps. Maybe just your house is dirty. You don't really understand what color it's supposed to be. They can take care of that as well. You get 15% off if you mention Final Four when you get your estimate. You can find that at the finalfoursontheschedule.com/support. I think it is very easy to forget that if you're getting a five, you have to get someone who is so tremendously better that there's an opportunity cost to everything, right? You lose 2 years of someone. So now if you bring in someone who's a sophomore and who's like phenomenal, you say, well, I'm willing to risk losing a couple people for that. well, then I don't think it's, then I think it's an easy decision. But that's, I think, why they're so intentional.
Well, and
careful about what you're picking up.
Yeah, and to take that point a little further, it's also, if you see a sophomore, you say, you know, I like certain aspects of this kid, but I don't know how easy it's going to be to get him up to speed with what we're going to require him to do defensively.
Right.
Right? I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's a sophomore, you might say, you know what? I think give me a year with this kid in the lab, and then by year two, I think I'll have, I'll give you an example of where I don't know that it was the equation, but it's how it worked out. One Joseph Hauser.
Yeah.
It took Joey Hauser really his third year and fourth year in the program, because he sat out a year, remember, until he really got it defensively to where he was truly fully functional. That can happen, you know?
Yeah. And, well, and I mean, so Walker's the same way, I think,
right,
in some respects.
Took Tyson Walker a full year to adjust to what he needed to do offensively. So it was the other side of the ball, but it's the same equation. Tom Izzo said this. I remember him saying this back in the old days, and it was specific. He was talking about DeJuan Wiley. So some of our older listeners will remember DeJuan Wiley was a JUCO transfer that Izzo added and had in the 96, 97, and 97, 98 season. So, you know, JUCO transfers only typically have 2 years to play. And DeJuan really struggled his first year, but then his second year, he was a starter at center and was an integral part of that Big Ten championship team. He was really effective. And I remember Izzo saying at the time, you know, the thing that's so tough about JUCO players is just at the point that you've got them where you need them to be, they're done.
Yeah.
And I think that carries into all of this. So if I guess to go back to my point, if there's a younger guy who is in the equation, you think he can make you better now in some ways, but it's going to be a process to get him fully where you want to be. Okay, maybe you say yes because you've got time to work with. But if it's a guy who you don't have that luxury with, he's got to be fully ready to go now for Izzo to want to take him. And that's a much harder ask. I know people don't like hearing that. They say Brad Underwood adds five guys. Look, he got to the Elite Eight. Okay. It worked for him. It's not how Tom Izzo does business. It's just not.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's hard to, it's just like buying any of the product. I mean, looking at the very, a pure transactional aspect of it, right? There are a bunch of variables that go into it. How is this person offensively, defensively? What are they as a person?
Yeah,
you know, how many years you have with them, all those things either add or subtract from the value of the purchase, we'll say, right?
Yep.
And so you have to take this all into account, and then you have to look at what you're losing at the other end, what you could potentially lose. So, you know, you lose a lot of depth. You had one guy and like two guys say, forget it, we're out of here. And then there's an injury and now you're really, you know, in a bad spot. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into these decisions that I think are hard for us on the outside to look and to know what they are. And there's, and that just how you run your program and how you decide to be will define many ways how you're going to run things. Right. And so the advantage, as you mentioned, point out early on, Michigan State is not having a huge influx or a efflux of people leaving the program and heading elsewhere. And that's to John Mizzou's credit. And that's a good thing, but you know, it can, if you want to just always add these pieces that are going to be really great, I would point to the fact that that is probably not a formula that is very successful often. The problem is it, I was just talking about this with my doctor today. I had a doctor's appointment, but you know, I'm anesthesia, right? And so I see all the crazy things. So I'll see all the people who get pickleball injuries. And so I can get a diagnostic bias and think, holy cow, pickleball is a really dangerous sport. People breaking their ankles, they're twisting, you know, they're spraining things, they're breaking their wrists. I've seen people fracture ribs playing pickleball. Now, probably it's just because of the nature of, you know, who's playing pickleball, right? Like old people.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But the point is I'm sure there are millions of people who play pickleball and they don't get injured. But I see every single person who gets injured. And so it's easy to look at the NCAA tournament and say, look at that team. They're like full of transfers. They made it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four or something. That's the way to do it. The problem is you don't see the other 150 teams that tried to do that, and they didn't even, you know, they had losing records or something like that. And so you can definitely give yourself a bias thinking that there's some magic formula way of doing this, and it's not real. And I feel, you know, as Michigan State fans, we absolutely have to feel that when you look at football with Mel Tucker, you feel like you struck gold with Kenneth Walker, but then you try that same formula the you know, following years, and it just didn't pan out, right? And so I think
here's the thing. You talk about transfers and the Big Ten. I think the majority, I haven't gone through and quantified it, but I would guess that pretty much every team except Michigan State and Purdue took multiple transfers last year. If I'm not right, it's very close to that. Somebody won those games that were played and somebody lost them. Right? Sounds simple, but this is something that gets forgotten. Kansas State, huge talk in Jerome Tang's first year about, well, look, he had to reinvent the entire roster. He had, like, I don't know what it was, 9 transfers or something insane like that.
Yep.
And they got to the Elite Eight. This is a formula that works. Had to repeat pretty much the same thing last year. Didn't make the NCAA tournament. I think that it is going to be very difficult to have continuity, consistency. Those elements are going to be difficult. Now, people can point to UConn and say, well, you know, UConn added some guys this year, and it was a very different team in some ways than the one that won the title the previous year, and yet they repeated. Absolutely true. But I can tell you, I don't think Danny Hurley wants to go at it. I've heard him talk about it. He doesn't want to have that be a regular course of business. He's aiming for the same things Tom Izzo talks about. When Michigan hired Dusty Bay, and Michigan is adding, you know, 9,000 guys in the portal, right? Because they have to. They have no choice. Yeah. I'm not blaming Dusty Bay. But I listened to his introductory press conference. If he actually means what he said in it, he doesn't want to live in that world. And judging by the way he operated in Florida Atlantic, he actually wasn't a heavy, heavy portal guy. So I think he does mean it. It is a hard way to live, to go at it. And I know that the response is, look, nobody's asking for Izzo to be Brad Underwood. We just want a couple guys. Well, I go back to what we've been talking about. It's got to be the right guy. And what you think matters as a fit doesn't mean anything, fan. Or, by the way, podcast host or journalist, none of it matters. Tom Izzo matters here. That's it. So the things that we talk about, they aren't even so much opinion. I'm just telling you some of what I know and some of what I reasonably surmise to be the case. And, you know, if you want to pound your fists and talk about how this isn't the way to run a program in 2024. Okay, you're entitled to your opinion, but that only means so much because you could be as angry about it as you like. It's not going to change bottom line.
Right. Yeah.
This is absolutely how it is. This is how it's going to be with this guy coaching. And it's part of my frustration too when I see people say things like, if Tom Izzo doesn't add a 5, they can't compete, or they've abdicated or refused to compete for titles anymore. First of all, I'd love to see you get in a room with them and say that. Love it. But in addition to that, I just think you're failing to truly understand the totality of this picture, you know? And and you can think that way, you can believe it's true, and you might even end up being right, but it just doesn't matter.
I guess that brings us to the next question, I guess, after we talk briefly about your gutters. I always have people who write into us about how great the gutters work done by the Brothers of Just You Gutters.
I thought you were going to say how great your segues are.
I'm not gonna I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I will toot their horn because it's really good. Actually, it's funny. My son was at his golf tournament. He was wearing his brother's Who Just Do Gutters, knit cap because, unfortunately, spring sports in Michigan. Well, you did it. Was tennis, was a spring sport when you were doing boys tennis?
Yes, it was. And it was.
Yeah, so brutal. You're playing it in the snow and stuff.
Brutal.
Yeah. So
he's, and I played baseball before that. It was the same thing.
Oh, yeah, same thing. Yeah,
brutal,
yeah. So,
in April. Brutal in April.
Yeah, and I think probably baseball would be the worst because that bat would really, because they use metal bats, that'd be really, you get a lot of stingers and stuff, I imagine, with as cold as it is. Anyway,
stand around a lot too. Yes.
There's a lot of standing. And, you know, golf, somewhat like that. So he was doing a lot of standing around.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
too bad because, you know, it was like 38, 39, 40 degrees. It snowed out a little bit on Saturday. And then it was, you know, now it's in the 60s. It's beautiful, but it's just the randomness of high school sports. But, you know, he had his brother's Just Gutters thing on. Some guy's like, hey, yeah, they're great. Anyway, so if you need your gutters replaced or repaired or cleaned out, the Brothers of Joseph Cutters should be your first call. They take care of you if you're on the east or west side of the state. You can find ways to contact them and find a way to get a hold of Kurt and Greg at our support page. The final four is on theschedule.com/support. Also, a quick shout out to Nudge Printing. Gabe from Nudge will hook you up and get you great gear. It's all stuff I wear all the time. They have all kinds of sweatshirts, hoodies, and t-shirts. It's the weather's turning, I guess. So it seems to be warming, so you probably need to get some new stuff. If you want to check out their gear, they have a ton of stuff, huge selection of Michigan State, vintage stuff, current stuff at nudgeprinting.com. 20% off if you type in Final Four at the coupon code. And I was just thinking, actually, with our in-person dinner we're going to have sometime this summer, I'm going to see how many of those guys want to come out and join us too, which I think would be kind of fun if they, you know.
Yeah.
I guess if you want to talk gutters, there's no... or how, like, how do you clean those windows so well? You know, maybe we'll see if they want to stop by. But so anyway, check those invites for later. So I guess the last question I have for you is, in your opinion, is Michigan State, what is it like 5 p.m. on April 23rd, assuming nothing changes as far as Michigan State's roster, do you suspect that we probably have the final roster for Michigan State going into next fall?
Well,
what do you think the odds are, I guess, maybe?
Better than 50% chance.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's my impression,
yes.
too. Yes. Yeah.
I would feel uncomfortable saying a lot more than that just because, we don't know yet who else might become available. And, you know, Michigan State, we've seen very clearly, plays this stuff close to the vest.
Yeah.
You know, it's... The guy who's, we may have mentioned this on the podcast before, there's a Twitter account, Trilly Donovan.
Yes.
Who, I think I brought this up, but he clearly indicated last week he doesn't talk to anybody at Michigan State. So what information he gets about Michigan State is through other sources. So it could be AAU sources, it could be other schools who think they know what's going on, that kind of thing. But he doesn't have any sources on Michigan State's within Michigan State's program. And that's been true, by the way, for national recruiting guys pretty much always. So I'm talking about high school recruiting. So MSU's general MO is to keep things relatively close to the vest. Stuff gets out, and local guys, you know, there are people who are very, you know people within the program that I talk
to.
And other people are in the same category. That can mean something. But you're not, my point is, if you're looking to Twitter feeds to get an idea of what Michigan State's up to, you're looking on the wrong place. That's not going to give you the truth, you know, just how it is. And so what Michigan State might be up to, who they might decide to get involved with as we wind this period down, remains to be seen. I certainly wouldn't say it's 100% that Michigan State has its roster set, but I would probably lean toward greater than 50% likelihood at this point with the Trey Townsend news. That was the other one that I thought, well, there's a reasonable chance here.
Right. And clearly now it becomes clear that sort of he was looking at that same spot that Fiddler's filling. And I think it's probably also safe to say that Trilly Donovan is not Jack Ebling or Graham Couch. If you say that's pretty accurate.
That I will say 100% certitude. I am that certain. I haven't asked either of them, but I'm pretty certain.
Well, I don't think they tell you. You know, this is, you know,
they wouldn't. What would they? Right. What would they say to me if they were? Right.
Wink twice if you.
Yeah. No.
All right.
It's somebody who's a national reporter that people likely know the name, and they just don't. It just hasn't been. It's somebody like that.
That's interesting too, that because there's so much, you know, it's worth so much to be the first one to break news, that to be anonymous as a journalist is, unless it's not a journalist, right? I mean, that it could be someone else who's journalist adjacent.
Possibly, but I think that account is, you know, when you're a journalist, you have to be careful about what you say at times because mm-hmm. you have sources you don't want to burn, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And when it's an anonymous account, you're freed from that. I get that. I mean, I stay pseudonymous.
Yeah. Easy for you to say.
For that reason.
Yeah.
Because I want to be totally free to say what I think and not have to worry about some crazy on the internet coming at me, which happens to people all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing.
Sure.
It's a legitimate concern in my view. Or in the case of a working journalist, you don't want to have your career jeopardized by that. So
yeah.
I get it.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. If anything else happens, obviously we'll be back to you as soon as we can. We're going to try and stay in a weekly schedule. We have a number of interviews set up with, I guess, our new West Coast friends, we'll call them. The new, you know, Big Ten yeah. country, Seattle, Los Angeles.
Intro to the West Coast division. We've already done, as we're recording this, we've already done the first one with UCLA with a former UCLA player. And it was very interesting to get. And I think as we get to people from all of these schools, it will continue to be very interesting to see their perspectives on what's happened, what awaits them, how they view it, all of that.
Yeah.
And two of the four schools have new coaches. So
yes, right. Yeah. And I think it's fair to say that their fans are just as impatient as ones in the Midwest or the East Coast. So.
Well, at least UCLA.
At least UCLA.
UCLA's are. I'm not sure that's the case for the other three, but
we'll find out, I guess.
We'll find out. But just from having lived out there, knowing alums from some of these schools, as a result of my time there, I think UCLA basketball and USC football are the outliers.
Yeah. They're not all laid back, huh? Yeah, I guess we'll find out. So,
right.
All right. So tune in for that. Again, you know, send up your show ideas. We had a great one for Patrick Levy. We'll probably try and address that at some point this summer since we got the time for the off season stuff. And again, if you want to reach out to me, send an email to eric@tffinots.com. So until next time, the Final Four is on the schedule. Go Green.